We will continue down to our open forum, which Mr. Katilnik will facilitate that as well. This is the portion of the meeting. It's designated for public comment on petitions, proposals, and other items of interest not on the agenda. Mr. Katilnik.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, just a reminder for those testifying, please identify your name and where you're calling from, or if you're in person, identify where you're from. I have quite a few individuals listed, so again, please limit your testimony to 3 minutes. I'll give you a 10-second warning, but to wrap up your testimony when that 3 minutes approaches. First one I have is Mr. Goodwin. Tim.
Welcome.
Thank you, Secretary Roebling, members of the Gaming Commission. Appreciate everything you do. I always get nervous when I say Gaming Commission because they think I'm talking about Deadwood and gambling, but it's the Game, Fish, and Parks Gaming Commission. I'm Tim Goodwin. I come as a private individual. I'm like Senator White and Representative Bartling. I'm a recovering legislator, but I'm here just as an individual, and I'm a mountain lion hunter. I've hunted mountain lions every year since 2005 when it started. I was involved in the late 90s getting the season proposed, been told there wasn't any lions in the Black Hills, there was ridiculous to have a season, went through all that gamut to where we are today. The first season was finally approved by this commission in 2005. I remember George Vandell, I think he's got Tom's job, didn't he? Is that who he had? He said red-faced after it was approved that we might get one lion, but for sure we won't get two because there just wasn't any lions that you're going to be able to hunt in the hills. I think the quota, if I remember right, was 50, and it was over in a week. In fact, a vet from or a dentist from Spearfish, it was during elk season because it was in September then. We kind of worked with the dates over the years, and he was using a Hoochie Mama, and a lion came in on him. He shot it. It was on the front page of the Rapid City Journal, and he got death threats and everything. So you notice nobody's picture has been in with lions in the paper since. We've came a long way since then. Then we went to November thinking that everybody that put in for a deer license in the Black Hills should probably get a lion tag with sell more tags. We did that. There were some problems with orange because lions can see orange, and you got to have orange if you're deer hunting. So it finally kind of evolved to December 26 to 31 March, and that's worked well. It is set up. If the quota is ahead, it can be extended by this commission to 30 April. This season is unique to any season in South Dakota. It's the only big game season where every resident that's eligible for a hunting license can get a tag. People don't understand that. How do I get a lion tag, you know? And you don't have to put in ahead of time. You don't have to have a drawing. Every single resident that's eligible for a hunting license can get a tag. And it's based on a quota system. You know, a quota now is 60 lions or 40 females, whichever is first. It's something you should consider, Mr. Secretary, for archery elk. It would work good for that as well. That's a subject for another day. As we went through this, the houndsmen, we've tried to work close with them. I'm not a hounds hunter. I've never hunted lions with dogs. But they thought they should, you know, they wanted to have their, be able to do their sport as well. So the proposal was they could have 1 week in the park, 1 week boot season, 1 week, you know, with dogs. And that worked out. That's worked out really well. It's Custer State Park, 77,000 acres. It's fenced. If the lion jumps the fence, the hunt's over. And there's been virtually no problems with that. And they were plumb happy. You talk to the houndsmen, everything was great. And then they come back and they want the rest of South Dakota outside the Black Hills Forest Service District. I sat in front of this committee and said, when will they be happy? They were ecstatic when they got 1 week in the park. Now they want the whole state except for the Black Hills Forest Service District. They got the rest of South Dakota.
10 seconds remaining.
I'm sorry?
10 seconds remaining.
And so they got the whole state. They got that. So now they've got 1 week in the park, every other week, and they got the whole state. Now they want to have it where they can come into the Black Hills Forest Service District. And my son's going to follow me. He's going to go over some of the problems with that. Thank you for the time. I'll be around if you have any questions.
Thank you, sir. David Goodwin.
Hey, good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling. Appreciate you having me. My name's Dave Goodwin from Piedmont, South Dakota. I'm here today representing just myself, as well as other boot hunters here in South Dakota, here to speak against the expanded use of hounds for hunting. The current proposal opens the floodgate for commercialization of hound hunting and mountain lions in South Dakota, threatens to tarnish public relations, and negatively impacts traditional boot hunters. My first point is that the science doesn't support it. We don't need to harvest any more lions. If you look at the first graph on the proposal, it shows that we're achieving the target population. We don't need to harvest any more lions than we're currently doing. Boot hunters are doing an outstanding job. It's a very interesting group of people that you boot hunt. All walks of life can do it. You don't need any specialized equipment. And most of all, you don't need to pay anything out of pocket. You get your lion tag and a deer rifle, and you can go mountain lion hunting. Second is that the, as written, it's just you're going to open the floodgates. Every hound handler from South Dakota, Wyoming, Nebraska, the way it is written right now on the proposal before you, we'll have 200 houndsmen, hound handlers out in the hills opening day. We don't want 200 cats killed opening day. That'll end the season, first of all. Second of all, that's not the target. That's not the objective of the season. And so by the current proposal, you're going to have the hills just surrounded. Maybe not every year, but this first year, it's going to be exciting. Everybody with hounds is going to be out here. Everybody that has a coon dog is going to be out chasing lions, and that's not what we want. This shouldn't just open the floodgates. We need to take a step back and think of a better way if and when we ever are going to open up the fire protection district to houndsmen. In the darting program that they do prior to the season, they bring in a guy, I think it's out of Montana possibly, that goes out and darts for the data. He goes out and darts the cats. He can do three handlers can dart 12 cats a day. How many cats are they gonna tree the first day? That says they have to harvest the first legal cat that they tree, and so you're talking a lot of cats that first day. And you say no, it's only 12. It's only 12 cats they're gonna get. Well, according to the current rules, you only have to check the quota prior to going out for your hunt. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, if all 12 hound cats are killed, they can continue killing them, continue, because by regulation, they're already complying by checking the quota as soon as they leave their house to go on the hunt. So in closing, I would ask that the commission stick to the 2019 Mountain Lion Management Plan. This was a plan with citizens. It was a plan that included boot hunters, houndsmen, some anti-hunters. They all sat down and they came up with a 2019 mountain lion management plan, and everybody had an equal voice, and this was an agreeable plan going forward, and that plan was supposed to be the path of this mountain lion season through 2029. And I'd respectfully ask you to stick to that plan, and then if and when there's a need to expand the use of hounds or any other methods of hunting lions, let's sit down as a citizen panel. I'd volunteer my time. I know a lot of the other enthusiasts would volunteer their time, and let's come up with a plan that works for everybody and not open the floodgates to commercialization and deteriorate in what we have going on here in South Dakota. So with that, thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Ms. Julie Anderson, are you online? We'll come back. Finn Sackerson.
Welcome.
Hello, Kevin. Commissioners. I'm Finn Sackerson. I'm a South Dakota houndsman. I enjoy very much hunting with my dogs. And I really like the way that this proposal is written on allowing us to run on the days that Custer's open. I think that's a great idea that I had never thought of to go ahead and move forward with allowing some hounds into the Black Hills Fire Protection District. As far as the huge concern over harvesting more lions, I don't think that needs to fall solely on the houndsmen to lose their opportunity whenever we have a harvest limit in place that can be used to adjust that harvest. There's no reason that we're the only ones that have to ante up on that. It's our opportunity to lose, and they have a system in place to adjust that harvest if and when needed without taking the opportunity away from us. The fact is that the petition that we brought forward was about opportunity to work with you guys through all the money you're spending on the R3 initiative and trying to keep people hunting in South Dakota. The houndsmen are leaving, all of us. We're all going out of state to run lion. As far as the trespass problems, people have been running bobcats their whole lives in the Black Hills. We have more baiting problems for mountain lion than we do trespass problems. That's recorded. So it's the trespass problem isn't that big. The fact that these guys are saying opening weekend there's going to be 200 houndsmen, I highly doubt it. You have to have the right conditions, and trying to get the right conditions, the time off to be able to go and do a mountain lion trip is really tough. It's not easy. So the Custer State Park on in and of itself is an absolute lose for houndsmen. There have been so few of those tags that have gone to people that own dogs that it's absolutely ridiculous. And that may be at fault of the houndsmen themselves because they're desperate for an opportunity to work their dogs. And they'll go and they'll run for somebody else. But that is not for the houndsmen. It's worked great for Custer State Park. We've done well managing the lions there. It just goes to show that the hounds are absolutely 100% better opportunity for you guys to be able to choose what lions are being harvested. Again, that's not what this is about. This is about opportunity. But you guys have an equal opportunity to allow to adjust that mountain lion harvest. We harvest every other animal in the state on male and female, except lions, as of right now. So it would just make sense that we would harvest mountain lions as male and female going forward.
You have 10 seconds. Excuse me. You have 10 seconds.
And that would create a diversity that we haven't seen since we've started hunting lions in the Black Hills to be able to move the dynamic of the harvest to where we're able to harvest more big tom lions that are the biggest predator of mountain lions.
Thank you. The next person I have is Nancy Hilding. Ms. Hilding, are you online?
Hello, I'm here. Just give me a minute here to get my thing organized.
Do you want me to come back to you, Nancy?
Oh, my things. Maybe it's here. Yes, here. All right, okay. I'm going to start. Give me not a 10-minute warning, but a 10-second warning, but a 30-second warning, if you could.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm going to talk about administrative rules and talk about statute. Okay. I'm going to read to you an excerpt from South Dakota Codified Law 126-13. Which is about petitioning for rulemaking, and I'm going to extract a piece of text in this. The statute, the petition shall contain the text or substance of any new rule or amendment thought, the identification of any rule thought to be repealed, reasons for the proposal, and the name and the address of the petitioner. Within 30 days after submission of a petition, the agency shall deny the petition in writing, parentheses, stating its reasons for the denials, unparentheses, or shall initiate rulemaking proceedings in according with 126.4. And I'm going to go back to the key point. The petition shall contain the text or substance of any new rule. Now, in July, the commission decided to move Mr. I think it was Jeremy Wells' petition forward. So they accepted the petition and they moved it forward into rulemaking. Now, his petition was very, very short. in terms of text. His petition said, we would like to propose use of dogs within the fire protection district of the Black Hills for residents only with a harvest limit of 12 cats or 6 males and 6 females. This was not qualified with a parentheses, the Black Hills outside Custer State Park. That was not put in the petition. However, during the discussion, after he finished his presentation with Q&A, a commissioner asked if he meant for Custer State Park to be included, and he said no, he didn't. He meant it for to be the Black Hills Fire Protection District outside of Custer State Park. So he agreed to amend his petition after questioning from the commissioner verbally, but this was not pursuant to state law submitted as text. It was a verbal agreement at the commission meeting. Okay, so when Game Fish and Parks, and if you look at the proposal and you go, I think it's on the fourth page, Game Fish and Parks has made 3 changes to his petition. Now,
Nancy,
the
you have 30 seconds.
Forward his petition, not an amended version of his petition. So you added the bit about Custer State Park. You added that the use of dogs would only be at the same times as the Custer State Park was allowing dogs. And you put in something, you crossed out Custer State Park in item 7 saying a person using dogs shall attempt to harvest the first legal mountain lion. The person has a reasonable opportunity to harvest except under condition in which the lion pursued shows obvious signs of lactation.
Could you please wrap up your testimony?
This was not... These later 2 changes were not discussed at the commission meeting. The petitioner did not agree to them verbally. So Game Fish and Parks is not actually moving the petition forward to rulemaking, which they promised to do in July. They're moving forward a modified petition where the staff gets to change the petition and make the petition more suitable to whatever it is the staff wants.
Thank you, Nancy.
Now, you know, I'm a petitioner myself. I'm all into being kind to petitioners. But the 14th Amendment...
All right, thank you, Nancy. We have to cut you off. Again, just a reminder, please, there's a lot of individuals that wish to give testimony, so please limit your testimony to 3 minutes. The next individual I have is Jeremy Wells. Jeremy, are you online? We see you online. You may have to unmute your microphone.
Were you asking for Tate Wells?
I have Jeremy Wells from Wisconsin. Maybe.
Okay.
Okay, we'll come back to Jeremy. Dana Rogers, are you online or in the room?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Excuse me.
All right, go ahead.
Could you please repeat names? It's very hard to hear on the phone, so sometimes we don't hear the names. So if you could just give like 2 shout-outs to the names of the people, I'd sure appreciate it.
Thank you. Hopefully this is better for those listeners online. I switched microphones, so I apologize. I think that was Ms. Julie Johnson who was talking, or Julie, excuse me, Anderson. We'll come back to you, but right now I do have Dana Rogers.
Yes, thank you very much. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Robling. I am Dana Rogers. I'm the Secretary and Lobbyist for the South Dakota Bowhunters Incorporated. SDBI has voted and chosen to support the effort for the use of hounds to further harvest of mountain lions in the Black Hills National Forest. Our position is based on 2 primary factors, looking forward to the possible opportunity of bow hunters being able to pursue lions with hounds in the future, and primarily to reduce further predation loss on our herds of elk, sheep, mountain goats, deer, and turkey. We do have a few comments and concerns over the verbiage of the petition itself, because we'd like to see the commission basically push it back to the department to coordinate and have a compromise effort between both boot hunters and houndsmen and come up with something that's, you know, palatable to both. In our view, you know, we could do something like keeping the first 2 months or so just to boot hunters and allow them to continue to enjoy their hunt as they have for years, then perhaps maybe the 1st of March or March 15th, allow the use of hounds in some form by a limited group of houndsmen and hound hunters. We'd like to see it made resident only and no guiding unless somebody's got a U.S. Forest Service license. This could be accomplished and reduce some of the concerns that, that many have by setting a percentage quota for the houndsmen, requiring the applicants to list a houndsman that they intend to use, just like they have to have a private landowner with a special buck permit, perhaps even set a specific zone like the H2 elk zone, or maybe quotas on specific zones where there's a high density of cats, but it's really tough terrain, like where most of the mountain goats are being predated. Again, SDBI wants to make sure that we don't necessarily want to negatively affect the boot hunter's experience, but we'd really like to see some bow hunting opportunities behind hounds. And the main goal would be to decrease the mountain lion population to reduce predation on our already stressed big game populations in the Black Hills. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Next individual I signed up is Ken Edel. Adele? Okay. The next individual I have is Trevor Davis. Trevor Davis, we see you're online. If you can unmute your mic.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, thank you for taking the time today to let me provide testimony. I'd like to echo most of what Dana said previously here in terms of getting some archer opportunities going, and we need to take care of those mountain goats and muleys especially. But at any rate, I wanted to testify from a different end of it. I've personally been out on hound hunts with one of our more prominent hounds in the state, and I learned a lot. I hadn't done it prior, and I did, and it's as far as preconceived notions versus how it actually plays out when they're out there. And it's pretty incredible to watch those dogs and just the discipline that clearly goes into the training of them. I figured that dogs were going to be going everywhere. It was going to be mayhem. It was nothing of the sort. While they do, and with between the GPS collars and just staying on them, and I mean, these guys have 3 years, most of them, into a fully trained dog, and that comes with a huge dedication on their part. And these guys aren't out to take anyone's opportunity. If anything, quite the opposite. In talking with the houndsmen that I've spoken with over the years, they're more interested in just working their dog. They're not trying to be the first guy to get a cat or anything like that. And so I don't know that it's necessarily true that all 12 of these tags will get snapped up right away the first morning. Could it? Certainly, but I doubt that that'll be the case, because from what I gather, most of these guys would rather stretch the season out if they could and work their dogs, and it's not about just killing cats or potentially removing somebody else's opportunity or anything like that. They have no ill will against these boot hunters, and I think they just want to work together, and they want a piece of the pie in the boot district. And we're talking about 12 cats here, so I know some of the other side don't appreciate that lens, but it's the truth, and I think there's still plenty to go around, and I think it'll be good to have a better standard of age class being taken before those 12 tags. A big tom is pretty much untouchable by anything other than a big tom or a hunter, and the more big toms in the landscape, it's not just bad for the other animals that they share the landscape with, but also for cats in general, because any cat that's smaller than it, whether it's cubs, male or female, if they still have spots and aren't old enough to mate yet, that male's going to kill those females and males alike, and all the way into your adolescent toms. So if we want to truly manage this population and try to get a better feed on it with a little more consistency and less randomness, I think that this could be a wonderful tool for the state. Another opportunity for them to have access to more unique data that may or may not be escaping them with only in the fire district.
Thank you, sir.
Anyway, I thank you all for your time, and appreciate you hearing my testimony. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, sir. The next individual I've signed up is Zach Hunke.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Mr. Secretary, appreciate it. I'm not here to talk about lions. I am here to talk about waterfall access plan that you guys are going to be looking at later today or tomorrow, I believe. So, I'm sorry, Zach Hunke from Watertown, South Dakota, and I represent the South Dakota Wildlife Federation. South Dakota Wildlife Federation was kind of set up around 1945 right up here in the Watertown area, specifically regarding waterfall and waterfall hunting is the reason why the group was established. And so I would just like to say that I appreciate all of the work that we've been able to accomplish with Kevin and Tom and the rest of the staff to develop a waterfall access plan. South Dakota has a long history of great waterfall hunting, and it's still one of the greatest places in the country to, or North America really, to hunt waterfall. This plan was specifically developed to provide adequate and sustainable waterfall hunting opportunities for both residents and non-residents, and quite specifically, public land hunters. The primary barrier to waterfall hunting, or one of the primary barriers, has been opportunity and access. So we certainly appreciate all the work that you folks have done and the department has done towards that. The duck hunters that had been surveyed in the past have consistently indicated some level of difficulty in finding a place to hunt ducks, or indicated that some of their public hunting locations could be crowded at times. Unfortunately, South Dakota has experienced a decline in resident participation over the last several decades, and unfortunately as well, nationally, America has seen a decline in waterfall hunters. We understand that providing adequate access, whatever that may be, for waterfall hunting can be a challenging endeavor, and we can appreciate the fact that the Game Fish and Parks has made an even greater priority through this waterfall access plan. The department has taken steps to provide more access, including the completion and contracts, providing hundreds of thousands of additional acres of public hunting on private lands. These steps the department is taking helps all of the stakeholders involved. Identifying areas for improvement is a large factor in the implementation of a plan like this. Finding and identifying areas for improved access that allow for travel corridors will have impacts to those who need it the most, especially those who maybe are having a hard time getting around, are physically impaired, aging. They can still enjoy their sport. And part of that might be through drop-off sites, launch areas, just taking a little bit more time and care to provide those opportunities for individuals that may not otherwise have them. Hunter satisfaction is and has always been a primary focus of the Wildlife Federation. Thank you. You know, our biggest goal is to make sure that the individuals that come here to our state enjoy it, have a good opportunity, and are satisfied with the experience that they have. We really look forward to seeing the implementation, and hopefully the mapping will be coming soon. And appreciate that through collaborative efforts and continued work, we can look forward to continuing South Dakota's rich waterfall heritage. And I appreciate all the work that you folks do. So, thank you.
Going back to some of the individuals that did not respond when first called, is Jeremy Wells online?
Hello?
Yeah, is this Jeremy?
Yeah, can you hear me this time?
Yes, sir, we can. The floor is yours.
Madam Chair, Secretary Roldan, Commissioners, I guess I'm the one that put the proposal in, so it's only right that I call in to support it. So far, I think Game Fish and Parks has come up with a really good draft to the season. I know there's some concerns with the female harvest, and there could be a decline in the population. A few things that I thought should come to light on that. It was 5 years ago that the season was extended by another 30 days because they were getting nowhere near the harvest limit. So, I mean, there's a lot of options there. As far as taking this away from the houndsmen, I think there's way better options as to maybe shortening the season. Another thing at the Chamberlain meeting that didn't really get talked about much, but I've looked at it quite a few times in a few different ways, was the prairie harvest limit. And it's stayed right around 13 and 14 cats every year, with the males typically being like 7, 8, 9, outweighing the females by quite a bit. Until last year, those numbers flip-flopped, and the females outweighed the males by quite a little. I guess I was wondering on that is the food supply diminishing that much that the females are leaving, or is the population actually growing, and we're just kind of being kept in the dark on that? And then I guess I just wanted to touch, I see Nancy Hilding had a petition on the dog collar. And I guess I would agree with that. And as far as adding that petition to it, for one, that dog collars and the tracking systems aren't cheap. And I think that would up the level of commitment from a houndsman. I know a lot of people think that they're just going to show up with coon dogs and blah, 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 and start running cats. Well, it's really not that easy. So hopefully it put some fires out and made a little light on some of the other subjects. So I thank you guys for your time.
Thank you, sir. The next
thank
individual
you. Have a good day.
You too. The next individual I have listed is Julie Anderson. Ms. Anderson, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Julie Anderson, and I'm from Rapid City, South Dakota. And I am speaking against the Mountain Lion Hound Hunting Amendment for the following reasons. Hound hunters have petitioned and been granted permission to first hunt mountain lions, then hunt them on the prairie, then hunt them from public land to private, then hunt them in Custer State Park, and now they want to hunt mountain lions in the Black Hills. When will this commission put some limits on hunting lions instead of granting permission for an endless list of people who want to kill them? These animals are not killing for trophies. They are surviving. Yet hunters blame them for killing elk, deer, and mountain goats. They are not trespassing onto people's yards and in town on purpose. Their territory is being encroached on at an unprecedented rate. They aren't killing pets and livestock. They are killing easy prey. And no study has been done on the impact the mountain lion seasons have affected juvenile hunting skills when orphaned. Their population numbers are always suspect, as they are elusive and makes this task extremely hard and unreliable. Tradition is another reason stated for wanting to hound hunt lions. There have been many inhumane practices justified under the umbrella of tradition, and this is one of them. Please oppose this newest amendment and set a limit on this killing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. That is all I have who has signed up for the open forum. Is there anyone either online or in the room?
I believe Tate Wells has signed up as well as myself.
Yep.
Patrick Weiner. Well, come on up, sir.
Welcome. Just state your name and if you're with the organization.
My name is Patrick Weimer. I'm the vice president of the South Dakota Houndsman Association. I'm a part of this proposal. And first off, I'd like to state that I'm actually very pleased with what Game and Fish Parks has come up with on their proposal. I think the running with the intervals of Custer State Park is great. It's an even 50-50 split between the choice of running boot hunters and with hounds. And even with that, the guys that are running on foot, they get a hunt as well as the time that we're hunting ours, from what I could understand. There's been points made that about Custer State Park. We have Custer State Park to hunt. The average hunter that gets the Custer State Park tag is not a houndsman. I know there's been 86 lions harvested through Custer State Park, and 83 of them have been with hounds. I'm not positive on the numbers of who has harvested them, but I would guess in the numbers of 10 to 12 of those have been houndsmen. That being said, we're just looking for opportunity for the houndsmen of South Dakota. Nothing more than that. We're not looking to harvest more lions. The quota is not going up. We just like a little chunk of it. We'd like to be able to work our dogs in our own state without having to pay high fees to go to other places. Currently, I have a lion tag in Wyoming that I pay $400 for. I have a lion tag in Montana that I'm in $600 for. Montana, I have to deal with wolves in the areas that I'm hunting. Here, we don't have those problems. We're in a great place to be able to run our dogs safely and efficiently, and I think it should be very well looked at that we are capable of doing that. As it's been said before, we have been running bobcat in the hills for many a years. It's never been an issue. There's no recorded issues that we have had any trespassing. If there is, it's on a very small level. They keep saying that we're opening the floodgates. Houndsmen have a lot more morals than what people think. I myself have been running for a number of years. I don't allow females to be harvested over my dogs. I only take mature males. And most of the time, the cats that we tree are something that we'd rather take a picture of and let go. I'm not opposed to harvesting cats, though. I do believe that the 50-50 split with the 12 and the 6 is a great idea to allow the females to be harvested that Game and Fish would like to be harvested. We're able to identify these cats. We can tell what they are in the tree. I've got several photos of myself under lion trees where we have caught lactating females. Knowing that she has cubs in the area, we relay that information with many of our friends, our fellow houndsmen, and we stay away from her. She's left to be and raise her young throughout the season. They like to say that it's going to be closed out right away. Good example is Wyoming. Their Unit 1 has a 4 limit for non-residents. That season was open up till I believe the end of November. That season starts in September 1st. So saying that we're going to close out 12 lions in a short amount of time and possibly go over, I find that very hard to believe. You good? I'd also like to make a point on a lot of the comments that were submitted. I read through a lot of them. There are several of the opposing ones that were submitted multiple times, and one individual submitted those a number of 17 times of the same proposal or of the same opposing comment. So, thanks.
Tate Wells, are you online?
Yes.
All right, sir, go ahead and give your testimony.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Commissioners, and Secretary, thank you for your time. My name's Tate Wells. I'm from Piedmont, South Dakota. I am a South Dakota houndsman. I am in favor of the use of hounds outside the fire district. I'd like to touch on a few points. It's a very family-oriented thing, just like boot hunting or elk hunting or anything else. My kids can run any one of my dogs or even train my dogs to do what we do. Had the opportunity to be under several trees with lions, and one thing that is always, brought up is it's a very good way to manage the population. You can specifically pick out lions that are problem lions, and also those lactating ones, like Patrick said. We pretty much just pick up, move out. We know she's there. We're aware of it. We can look over the lions if they're healthy, if they're sick. Maybe one needs to be harvested. You know, some of the other things are opportunities for individuals that aren't boot hunters that cannot go out and do this without the help of houndsmen. And Jeremy Amy out of Piedmont as well has had the opportunity to be under a lion tree, and he is in a wheelchair, and I gave him that opportunity. And I look at stuff like that, and I want to give more opportunities to the elder, you know, young youth, to even go experience it. Maybe I've been with people and they've gotten to the tree and they see it and they're like, I can't do it. That's fine. That's on them, you know, but we still had the opportunity. They had the opportunity to see the lion in a tree, and we're plumb happy with just taking pictures. You know, I just want to thank you guys for your time, and let's move forward with this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else online or in the room that wishes to give testimony that has not already done so? Hearing none, Madam Chair, that would close the open forum portion of this meeting.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mr. Katilnik, and thank you to everybody who joined us, whether you were doing it by phone or Zoom or here in person. We appreciate the time that you took out of your day to share your thoughts with us.